We're continuing today our series of services focusing on different aspects of discipleship. It is our calling as disciples to follow Jesus, to obey his commands, and to imitate his life. Jesus called the 12 apostles, we know, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the rest, and they went and followed him. He literally said, "Follow me." They left everything and followed. We have the same calling. And that's what we're considering in this series that we're going through now. He is calling us. The themes we've had so far are evangelism, stewardship, prayer, healing, and the study of scriptures. Our theme today is actually the most challenging of all so far. We're called as disciples to be a holy people. And we're thinking today about the nature of holiness. This is especially relevant because in this week, we have actually had the Feast of All Saints on the 1st of November, and that we are continuing to celebrate today. The feast was originally there to celebrate the martyrs, those who'd given their lives in the persecutions in the early church in the days of the Roman Empire. And one of those, of course, was our patron saint, St. Margaret. But we're also remembering, as I think Susie hinted, we're also remembering those indeed, those martyrs who are suffering and giving their lives even today in some parts of the world. It's very good to continue remembering them. But later, the church adopted a wider definition of what it meant by a saint, and it included people who had performed miracles, perhaps had founded religious orders, and some of them were kings and queens even, and they were people who had preached the gospel, perhaps lived lives of particular piety, prayer and fasting. So there's a great number of these holy men and women over the years. They were examples of exceptional dedication, examples of particular holiness. And it's tempting, I suppose, for us to think of these heroic saints as being the only ones who are called to be holy. It's as if they were the star players in our team and we were just the fans, the supporters, as it were. But that's not at all what we hear in the Bible. It's not at all what we are called to be as disciples, not just supporters, but actually participants. We can see this from various passages in the New Testament, but I've been thinking particularly of the way in which St. Paul addresses the congregations to which he sent his letters. And first of all, the one he sent to Rome, it was addressed like this: "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people." The first letter to Corinth begins, "To the church in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people." And the second letter, "To the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia." And there are similar expressions in the epistles to Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae. So obviously it was commonplace in the early church to speak of the church as the holy people. And if you go back, actually, and look at this in the Authorized Version, the King James Version of the Bible, the wording is slightly different. For example, in the letter to Rome, it begins, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." Called to be saints, that's what holy people are. And that greeting, I believe, is also addressed to us now. We are all beloved of God, and we are all called to be his saints. Yes, the call is addressed to us all. It's not just addressed to a few special people who are unusually pious. It's not just addressed to a particular psychological type. And it's not just addressed to the clergy, I have to say, it's addressed to all of us as laity as well. We get this also in Peter's first letter, where he says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, yes, a priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So here we have teaching of the priesthood of all believers and a saintly calling for all of us as his disciples. We're called to be holy, to be set apart for God, dedicated to his service and consecrated in his name. I've said this is challenging. It is indeed. Fortunately, we're not just addressed in this way as individuals. We're addressed as a whole company. In our creed, we talk about the communion or fellowship of saints. And there is that sense that all the people of the church together who represent the holiness of God's people. It's a corporate thing. It's something we do together. And we support one another in this holiness, and we share it amongst ourselves. There is this vast company of people. I like to think of that sometimes when we come to church, the vast company of people who are praying throughout the world. This is the communion of saints, millions of us. And of course, it's not just those who are alive today. We see ourselves as communion in communion with a vast congregation of saints from the past who are now praising God in heaven. All the saints are with us, saints worshiping God in earth and in heaven today. So the theme of today's service is the holiness of all his people. But we need to think a little about what we mean by holiness. It's not actually a word we use very much in church, I think. It is to think of ourselves as holy, perhaps takes us back a little bit. We think, well, what exactly does that mean? I think it's not just a matter of obeying God's commands, of doing what we're told to do. It's actually about the sort of people we are. It's a matter of character. It's a question of what sort of person we are or could become, and what sort of person maybe that we want to be. Maybe you have an idea of holiness which is something we don't want to be. So I think we need to meditate a little on quite what we mean when we think of ourselves as being holy and a holy people. Do we actually aspire to that? Do we sincerely want to imitate Christ? Now, when men and women are trained for the priesthood, there's a lot of knowledge they need to absorb. They need to be educated, but they also need to be transformed. They need character formation. This is recognized by the people who run the theological colleges, and people who are training are encouraged to go through certain experiences of penitence and forgiveness, the worship of God, and to aspire to an appropriate character for the calling to which they have been given. But if we are all called to be saints, if we as lay people too, we also need this character formation. We don't often think of ourselves as becoming holy, still less probably as becoming saints. But this is not actually something we have to achieve, something in which we might take pride, and it's not a reward we might earn. Our intention must always be to follow Christ better, not to make ourselves more worthy as his servants. So we need to be a little bit careful about this sense of ourselves as holy. We mustn't think of making comparisons, of thinking that we are holier than anyone else. That would be a calling to being hypocritical, the sense of being holier than thou, which is exactly what we want to avoid. Those who are most truly saints would, I believe, be the last to claim that title for themselves. So it's not an achievement or even an ambition, it is a gift. It's a gift that we need to be prepared to receive. If we're to be at all holy, That must be as a manifestation or reflection of the holiness of God. Quoting again from St. Peter's first letter, he says, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Yes, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is indeed the source of all holiness. If we want to know what holiness means, we need to meditate on the holiness of God. We know from Scripture, throughout Scripture, Old as well as New Testament, that God is righteous, he's trustworthy and just, and that is an essential part of his holiness. He's also loving, merciful, and kind. But we know that he is also almighty, eternal, and wise. Those characteristics we cannot share with him. He's also invisible, incomprehensible, and beyond our understanding. So how are we to know what holiness might mean for us? We can't even fully comprehend the holiness of God, but we can learn about all that we need to know about the holiness of God by contemplating the holiness of Christ made flesh for our salvation, because he was holy in a human body, a human mind, and we can therefore aspire to, we can dream that we might imitate him. It says in our second reading today, Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So the holiness that might be ours is like the holiness of Christ. Jesus is our vision of the holiness of God. He's holy in his weakness as well as his strength. He's holy in his miraculous acts, but also in his suffering and his death. He's holy in his compassion and his forgiveness. And we can be holy because he is holy. Yes, the holiness of God can attach itself to us. If we come into contact with Jesus and walk with him as his disciples walked, then that holiness will, as it were, rub off on us. That is the only way we can become, fulfill our calling to holiness as a church and as individuals. That's how we can become more worthy to be called his saints. Well, I said that this is our most challenging service in the series so far. I hope you agree. This is not easy stuff, but it is our calling. We are called to be saints. It's the most challenging so far of our series. It's not easy to become a saint. It takes courage to set out on that journey, and it takes persistence in the face of difficulties and discouragements. We can't do it in our own strength, but with God, anything is possible. That's why I've asked that our next hymn should express our determination to continue that journey or pilgrimage to the very end.